Yeah, we didn't record any of that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, hey, hang on.
Okay. Now talk.
You what?
Yeah, we have echo factor going here because we are both in the same location talking by phone to the podcast.
On different phones.
On different phones.
It sounds really cool, though.
Yeah, you see that. It'll get annoying quick.
Oh, yeah. So!
Welcome to the podcast!
Welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com. Oh, that was cool.
Where we talk about everything except for Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, I'm going off speaker and going on my Bluetooth.
Feedback Central.
Feedback Central! Okay. Now, I don't know how it's going to sound on a podcast, but it sounds funky here.
It's going to sound the same. So one of us should probably go outside if they want to do this, or we just talk with one phone.
Nah, that's not fun. Okay.
All right.
We are... I'll step out. But
I've taken it off of speakers, so that'll reduce some of the problem.
All right, so we're going to do the Ron Paul deal?
Yes.
So. Let me find that.
And I'll mute myself while he does that.
Weekly update for Monday, January 25th. While the Washington snowstorm dominated news coverage this week, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was operating behind the scenes to rush through the Senate what may be the most massive transfer of power from the legislative to the executive branch in our history. The senior senator from Kentucky is scheming along with Senator Lindsey Graham to bypass normal Senate procedures to fast-track legislation to grant the president the authority to wage unlimited war for as long as he or his successors may wish. The legislation makes the unconstitutional Iraq War Authorization of 2002 look like a walk in the park. It will allow this president and future presidents to wage war against ISIS without restrictions on time, geographic scope, or the use of ground troops. It is a completely open-ended authorization for the president to use the military as he wishes for as long as he or she wishes. Even President Obama has expressed concern over how willing Congress is to hand him unlimited power to wage war. President Obama has already far surpassed even his predecessor, George W. Bush, in taking the country to war without even the fig leaf of an authorization. In 2011, the president invaded Libya, overthrew its government, and oversaw the assassination of its leader without even bothering to ask for congressional approval. Instead of impeachment, which he deserves for the disastrous Libya invasion, Congress said nothing. House Republicans only managed to bring the subject up when they thought they might gain political points exploiting the killing of U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens in Benghazi. It is becoming more clear that Washington plans to expand its war in the Middle East. Last week, the media reported that the U.S. military had taken over an air base in eastern Syria, and Defense Secretary Ashton Carter said that the U.S. would send in the 101st Airborne Division to retake Mosul in Iraq and to attack ISIS headquarters in Raqqa, Syria. Then, on Saturday, Vice President Joe Biden said that if the upcoming peace talks in Geneva are not successful, the U.S. is prepared for a massive military intervention in Syria. Such an action would likely place the U.S. military face-to-face with the Russian military whose assistance was requested by the Syrian government. In contrast, we must remember that the U.S. military is operating in Syria in violation of international law. The prospects of such an escalation are not all that far-fetched. At the insistence of Saudi Arabia and with U.S. backing, the representatives of the Syrian opposition at Geneva peace talks will include members of the Army of Islam, which has fought with Al-Qaeda in Syria. Does anyone expect these kind of people to compromise? Isn't it Al-Qaeda supposed to be our enemy? The purpose of the legislative branch of our government is to restrict the executive branch's power. The founders understood that an all-powerful king who could wage war at will was the greatest threat to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is why they created a people's branch, the Congress, to prevent the emergence of an all-powerful autocrat to drag the country to endless war. Sadly, Congress has surrendered its powers to the executive branch. Let's be clear, if Senate Majority Leader McConnell succeeds in passing this open-ended war authorization, the U.S. Constitution will be all but a dead letter. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay. I don't really have much to say about that. What about you? Right. I mean, he touched on some important subjects. But, you know, like the whole lordship thing where we have dictatorship and rulership when we're not supposed to have that. But we already know all of that garbage. So now what do we say? What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? ScrapGovScrap.com. That would be a good start. Vote for Lenny. And vote for Kano.com. Yeah, for some reason my headset's not working. Well, my mic's working, but I can't hear anything. Talk. Nope, still can't hear anything. It's weird. It's weird.
Okay, well...
Yeah.
Well, he's sitting there. Get that out.
Go ahead and start your topic.
I've got a podcast of the week, right? Podcast of the week would be... Indiana Freedom Talk Radio. Sage, you're on. Very interesting. Yeah. We spent, we spent 2 weeks talking about Fox. And through the podcast, they basically, but mostly what this tech talks about is
monologue. I can't hear anything. All right, I'm taking my phone outside. Oh. Crap. It's not my headset. It's my phone. I'm going to have to do a shutdown and restart. Okay, you're on your own for a minute.
calling back. Can I hear you? Are you talking? My phone's jacked up. I can't hear anything. This is messed up. I didn't drop it or anything. It was working just a minute ago. Hello? Crap. Maybe I need to drop it. Fine, be that way.
All right. I've been talking to myself. Can you hear me now? Oh, sorry, folks. Kano thought he had a mic problem or a head or an earpiece problem. He couldn't hear me. It's because my phone was muted for the Ron Paul thing, and I never unmuted.
Oh, God. Okay.
And so he's been saying crap online while you didn't hear me tell him he shouldn't.
No, it's not so much that. It's just, it was dead air.
Right. So, yes.
I was rebooting and everything. Everybody's just hearing me saying, I can't hear anything. God, it's going to be like our worst podcast ever.
All right, well, I'll go through my monologue again since nobody heard it.
Well, actually, since nobody's called in, we can start over.
Right, we could.
Or
right,
we
so
can leave alone and let everybody laugh at us.
Well, we can cut out the silence. But, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it at this. We don't edit nothing, because we're retarded like that.
Oh.
That's why we're called Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, yes. And I can see why he pauses a long time for me to respond now, because his voice actually comes across this about 2 seconds after he says it.
One. 1,000.
Okay, well, going by that, it's 1 second. All right, but still, there's a delay.
It's all good. My battery's going to die on my laptop.
Okay, well, all right, so my monologue that nobody heard. Okay,
I
found this delightful podcast, all right? And so this is my podcast of the week. I guess this is going to be our new segment here. I made it up, and I'm throwing it into the mix. All right? Yeah, he's got his music going out there. All right. So this podcast is called Grow Your Own, and you can find it at IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com. And up in the on the left-hand side of the screen, at the top of the list, says Archives. You tap on Archives, and it'll give you a list of the various podcasts that they have available. Grow Your Own would be on the second line on the left. So it's the second to the last podcast that they have listed on the page. And so any of their podcasts is good. A couple of the podcasts that they had this week, they were talking about growing hops. One of them, they had a podcast where they reviewed a book. I believe the title of the book was called Wicked Plants. It was a book about various poisonous plants that are out there. And he was telling you to be careful, you know, don't Don't rub any of those on those on your bullets and stuff. Certainly don't pick any of the flowers or touch any of the plants and stuff like that, because, you know, that somebody could get hurt. All right? So, you know, yeah, you'll have to listen. Take it as you please. Anyway, but it's a very good podcast. He's very much into permaculture. He's into growing your own food, growing it safe, growing it clean and healthy. And, you know, I very much agree with that part. I think quite frankly, everyone should grow their own food, really should grow their own food. Unless you're like me and you can just go out and find it growing wild. But, you know, even so, I would like to learn how to better grow my own food. And, you know, a lot of people say they don't have time for that. I really think you should make time. If you have to reduce from a 40-hour-a-week job down to a 20-hour-a-week job, hey, do that. You know. Anyway, so I think maybe Kano should jump in here pretty soon, because, as I said before, when you couldn't hear me, I'm not really good at monologues.
Why not?
Yeah.
Is this too loud, or can you hear it?
I can hear you fine. I don't hear your
music. Background. Okay, good.
Yeah, you before your music was pumping in really loud when you thought that it wasn't working.
Like that?
No, it was much louder than even that. It was overpowering your voice.
Oh, okay.
So you'll find out when you listen to the rebroadcast. Yeah.
So anyways, it's like my new song, sort of. Not really, but anyways. Okay, so we're talking about poisoning our bullets and arrowheads. I mean, not
yeah.
Poisoning our bullets and arrowheads. I'm sorry, no, we can't do that. That would be...
Somebody might get hurt. Yeah, don't pick those honey locust thorns and leave them in the road or anything like that, because, you know, it might pop somebody's tire, you know. Anyway.
Right. So the other subject you wanted to talk about was the flag orders.
Yes. This will get me in lots of trouble with people. But basically, you're supposed to put your flag, you're supposed to hang them in order of, you know, importance. And so typically you see the American flag flying higher than any of the other flags that are near it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the theory on this land is that government's supposed to be your servant.
Theory? That's not a theory.
Well, you know, you have to answer to every cop that pulls you over, and they're supposed to be your public servant. You know, they're supposed to be answering to you, not the other way around. You know, but yeah, that's not the subject. But see, my concept is, I'm under God. All right, I'm a child of God. I'm servant of God. All right, and so if I was to fly some flags, you know, I'd see putting the most important flag up on top, and that'd be God's flag, and, you know, I haven't seen anywhere where he described that flag, and so if I was going to choose one, I guess maybe a white flag for the flag of peace, you know, if somebody has a better idea, that's great, all right? And under that, I'd probably fly my own personal flag, all right? I happen to live in an area where there's a particular county. If the county has a flag, which I don't think it does, but, you know, I could be wrong, I would probably fly that right underneath my personal flag and then under that, the state flag, and under that, the U.S. flag, you know, and then, you know, some people, they like to fly the U.N. flag. I'd put that right underneath the U.S. flag, because that's the order in which these government agencies are supposed to be serving us, you know?
That is.
So,
with the exception of this whole North American Union flag. I mean, North American Union.
Slide that in between the UN and the
and the U.S. flag.
There you go. I don't think there'd be any room left for the UN flag. They suck anyways. I don't want to flag their stupid flag.
Well, so you dig a hole in the ground so that it fits on the pole, you know.
There you go.
Or get a taller pole.
Or get smaller flags. Oh, there you
go.
Really? Get a huge pole with little itty bitty flags. That would be funny. Hey, we should do that. Get a giant flagpole and put these little tiny flags on it and be like, what the heck? Well, yeah, so we can put them all in order. Because I got my own flag. I want to fly it, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Just kidding.
Oh,
actually, I don't know that I've ever created I think I created a flag once when I was a kid.
I had my kids create some flags, and I was in the process of putting them together for them and such, and I think ultimately we used some fabric, some white fabric, and I let them go at it with fabric pens, and they'd fly them every once in a while. It let their friends know when they were available to go play. But their friends generally knew that anyway because they were over knocking on their doors. So.
That's funny.
Oh, my. All right. So, yeah, flag order. Well, yeah, it goes to, you know, who serves who. That's my point with that. You know,
you
serve
you.
I know there's some veterans out there that'd probably get terribly upset at my suggestion of flying the U.S. flag near the bottom of the pole, but, you know. Uncle Sam is supposed to be the ultimate servant, not the ultimate master. And,
that's right.
Anyway, and that goes to flag burning as well. I know a lot of people get upset over the issue of flag burning, but if you can't burn your own nation's flag, then you don't have freedom of speech, and so you might as well burn your nation's flag. You know, to me, that strikes me as the ultimate compliment of the nation's flag, is that the fact that they aren't bothered by you burning it. You know, it's like, oh, you want to burn our flag? You're free to communicate your feelings in whatever way you wish, you know, as long as you're not actually harming somebody else, you know?
Right.
And then there'd be no reason to burn the flag because, you know, hey, person's not being an oppressor.
Okay. We should have a flag burning party every week.
Yeah.
I mean, month. It'd be too expensive to do it every week. BYOF, bring your own flag.
How about we just pretend we burned the flag? That'll get enough people coming to protest us.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Okay, so that was a short one. What's the next subject on the line? Because we didn't really prepare again this week.
Well, we never really prepare, do we?
No, not really. Have not come up with the title of that book, but this week I honestly made an attempt to find it. The problem is I live in this little teeny tiny camper, and it only has limited space for me to keep things. And so that particular book ended up in a box, and I think it's in my storage container, and I'm going to have to figure out which box I stuck it in. Mainly because I hadn't really had a whole lot of time to go do new foraging, and so I wasn't reading it recently. But it is an excellent book, and that's the third week in a row. I told you that without telling you its title. I hope it's one good cliffhanger for all of you.
Yeah, well, we're working on our property, our DD&D property. We could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, what was that product we put on the roof?
Do what?
What was that product that we put up on the roof?
Gakko?
Gakko, yes. Wonderful stuff. I hope it works. I'm actually waiting for the next rain so I can go check out our kitchen. See how it's working.
Yeah, we got the first layer up. Looks like I'm going to have to go get another coat maybe Monday, go to Clinton and pick up another coat or another gallon to put another coat on it. But, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems to be a very good product because I went to clean the brush and it stuck to my fingers underwater. So I'm pretty sure that you could put it onto a wet roof and it still works. So.
Yep. Pretty gnarly stuff. People say it'll last for like 50 years. So. Battery died on my laptop. I'm done. With that, yeah, basically what we're working on out there on our land is an off-grid organic farm. And basically once we get done with it, it'll be like an off-grid organic farm and retreat. We kind of live in a tourist area. It's not like Walt Disney tourism or anything like that. But we got a lake here, and a lot of tourists come. So we are in a tourist area.
Yeah, and remember when I was in the Kansas City area? Everybody wanted to come down to Lake Stock.
For whatever reason, we don't really know, but people like it here. So anyways, everybody else in the area is doing, like, hotel, resort, whatever, da-da-da. So we figure we might as well do something of the sort. Actually, I figured. And but ours is going to be more hippie-fied. And not really hippie-fied, but, you know, we was originally going to call it an off-grid organic hippie farm and retreat. Actually, I wanted to call it that. But everybody talked me out of it. Well, David and David talked me out of it.
Well, you talked me back into it, and the other David talked you out of it again.
Yes. So I own the .com for off-grid organic farm and retreat. And I also own the domain for off-grid organic hippie farm and retreat. So we do a play on words for the hippie part, but overall, it's just going to be called Off-Grid Organic Farm and Retreat. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to have the retreat to where people can come and stay and partake in some of the activities that we may or may, you know, that we may have. But overall, it's going to be more or less a, the art of success is duplication. So we're learning how to do all of these things, do off-grid housing, alternative health, alternative energy, all that stuff. Of course, we've been studying all this stuff for about 20 years between David Irish and David Ray and myself. We've been studying it for at least 30 years, but I myself started about 20 years ago. And David, when did you start?
Oh, it's been developing over 10 years, but I really didn't get into it until about 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Still had hopes of doing things the normal way, you know, up till then.
Yeah. Well, I originally designed, I did a lot of homework and studies, and I designed for my science and social studies class. A prototype of a totally 100% self-sufficient, environmentally efficient house. And of course, it was on the lake. I used the cabin on the lake as my prototype. It wasn't my cabin, but you know, my family had cabins down there, so I thought that would be a good place to do it. And so I built my prototype and used the cabin in the Ozarks as my idea for the design. So I had everything set up to where it sucked water from the lake, ran through filtration systems. Of course, we also had a well, so we, you know, we had fresh water there. But the lake was back up, you know. And then everything went through, you know, through our the wastewater would go through a septic system. I didn't really know about retrieving the gas from the septic too much at the time, but I had incorporated what I thought would work into my design and had my, not just one leach field, but I had multiple leach fields in my design for, you know, spreading everything out evenly throughout the land so we didn't have a high concentration of leach.
Ouch.
Yeah. So anyways, and all the other things that I did, I had sunrooms for heating in the winter, and I had solar and wind power designs, and that was about it at the time. And I got a really good grade on it, but I always wanted to actually make that happen. My first wife and I, we were actually going to get, you know, the cabins on the lake, and we were actually going to do it. She was like, let's do this. I'm like, okay, but we never did it. Of course, we only lasted a couple years anyway, so that's another story. But anyways, that was my dream, and, you know, I've been wanting to do that ever since. And so now I'm finally doing it. Came down here in the Stockton area, Cedar County area, in 2012 after my last divorce, and I pretty much lost everything. I bought into a project, a community project down here, which turned out to be a scam. But nonetheless, that's what got me down here. I bought into that, moved down here, turned my house up in Kansas City into a rental, and got ripped off on that too, and ended up giving the house back to the bank. But I moved down here, and that was the agenda. Get off the grid, start doing this deal that I've been wanting to do for over 20 years. And then David needed refuge. He was having issues where he was at, and so we moved him down here. And
yeah, wonderful experience with that.
Yeah, that's a long, dramatic story as well. We ended up, since the community project turned out to be a scam and also a problem child, David Ray moved on to somebody else's land, kind of became a farmhand for them, and I stayed at my now ex-girlfriend's. And now we got our own land. We got it last year, and we've been slowly working on it to get it set up and going. We're still not set up and going, but we're still working on it. So by spring or summer, we should have the fencing up for the goats. And we're working on our road. So we're working on our fencing and our roads right now. We got some mushrooms. We need to cultivate those a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're making progress slowly but surely. Once things really start picking up, or once things take off, it'll start picking up. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, most anything you do is a slow start, and then it starts ticking off from there. Faster, faster, better, better. Better, better, better. But, so what we're doing is we're doing, obviously, an off-grid organic farm. And we're not going to be off-grid like the Amish, obviously. We're going to have techno. And we study all kinds of different alternative energies, alternative health, and, of course, alternative thinking. But we're going to have different experiments on the land for alternative energy, like plasma batteries, earth batteries, you know, any other alternative?
Wood gas, char gas?
Wood gas, char gas, anything that's, you know, not in the mainstream, you know. We're going to do mainstream too, but we're going to do other things as well. We want to do everything that will complement our own system. We don't want to be dependent on a system, so we're not going to be, and that's our interpretation of off-grid is we're just not going to be dependent on the system. Of course, we're not really going to be hooked up to the system except for our phones and internet, maybe.
Yeah, well, we're working on a replacement for that, too.
Right. Well, there is a replacement for the phones. We got mesh networking, but we got to get enough people in our area to actually have mesh phones and antennas in order for it to work. But we can get it going, and the more the merrier. But, yeah, so that's basically what we're doing with our off-grid organic hippie farm is alternative energy, you know, all kinds of different heat, electricity, the whole nine yards, anything you can think of. We'll be testing it, trying it out, and going with what works, and going with what works best. And then we'll be, with our treat, we'll be passing on that knowledge. You know, so we'll also be doing housing the same way. We'll be doing all the different types of off-grid types housing. You got clay huts or mud homes, whatever you want to call them.
I got a friend who drew an arched home that's got me excited. I've been looking at floor plans for mobile homes because the structure he came up with, it's an arch that's roughly 20 feet across, 10 foot in the center, and he says that he can make it strong enough to bury it under 3 to 4 feet of earth, and then you could drive a heavy truck on top of it, and it would take it. All right? Well, if it's that wide, it's going to have about 15 feet of usable floor space for you to walk on underneath the arch, and it can be as long as you want it. Well, a good trailer home is typically 15 feet wide by 60 feet long. So I'm looking at floor plans. I'm trying to see how I could adapt those floor plans to fit within this arch and make a buried home that would fit it. So
there you go. Yeah. I mean, and you can even take, well, there's all kinds of different type housing that you can build that would be energy efficient. And, for example, one of the first things I plan on doing on the property, as far as housing goes, besides our teepee, because we want to do that too, but I'll probably get a mobile home over there. And what I want to do is build a carport over it, and but make it wide enough to where the outside of the carport is the link from the trailer to the outside. To be the length of a hay bale or straw bale, and stack straw bales all the way up from floor to ceiling in there, and that'll be my insulation. And then put boards up, and of course keep an opening for the window. And then put, you know, boards and stuff up on the outside, and then frame out another window in there, and then just basically have like a big open shelf in between the two windows. You can grow stuff in there. Or whatever. Use it as a dehydrator. But whatever the case may be. And then you have how many feet long are those hay bales, long-wise?
They vary in length, but typically they're about a foot and a half thick.
Oh. Well, what's the length typically on average?
They're anywhere from 3 to 4 feet in length.
So would it actually be better to do them the skinny way instead of long ways?
Yeah, it's better to do them the skinny way.
Oh, okay. So we'll do it that way. All right. Excuse me. So about a foot and a half between the trailer and the outside of the carport. And stack all the hay bales, straw bales, all up, all the way up. And then you got great insulation. You don't have to worry about insulation. That'll lower your usage, you know, if it's all electric, which I kind of prefer, although they say gas is more efficient.
Yeah, for better heating.
Yeah, but if you don't have to worry about your insulation, I mean, if you got excellent insulation, you won't have to run the heater for very long to keep the house warm. So you use very little electricity. But either way, you can use gas or electric. But slap solar panels on the carport. You know, you got plenty of exposure there for solar panels. And then, you got a really good insulated house. It doesn't even look like a trailer until you get on the inside, but you can change that too even.
Yep.
And how long does those hay bales last? Straw bales.
Well, if you keep them dry, they should last pretty much indefinitely, especially if you seal them off. And what you're talking about to do, they might not be sealed off. But the hay bale homes, they seal them off, I guess, with a layer of stucco both on the inside and the outside. They become oxygen-free in no time, and after they do that, they pretty much will last indefinitely.
Okay.
As long as you keep repairing the stucco.
Right. So if... but you'd have to... Well, I guess we'd have to put down something so the mice can't get to it from underneath. Mice and snakes and other critters. You know, coming up from out of the ground.
Well, yeah.
Concrete! Put a layer of concrete. That'll work. All right, well, yeah, we'll figure something out. But if anything, you know, you still, if you didn't do that, you'd have to replace maybe the top layer of hay every couple of years. After all the rodents go through on the bottom and tear it up. But you'd have cats. We'll have cats to keep down the rodents, so that won't be too big of a problem.
Oh. You're just reminding me of the last house, which is the mobile home we looked at. The skirting had been pulled back a little bit, and I stuck my nose in there. And it smelled of cat piss. It was horrendous.
Horrendous! Yeah, that will be a problem.
Yeah, that's, you don't
winter.
Want cat piss. You want it to be an oxygen-free environment is what you want down there.
Right. So we'll think of something. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, just making it an inhospitable place. Lots of diatomaceous earth, lots of lime. Make it inhospitable to rodents being down there in the first place, and that'll probably be the trick.
There you go. Bada-bing! Oh, la vida loca. So that's one of our ideas for an off-grid house. David wants to do the underground, above-ground houses, earth contact homes.
Yes, earth contact. I actually want to do my underground house about 2 feet above ground, normal ground level. I want the floor to be raised up a bit. And mostly I want that because I like toilets, all right? And if you do an underground house, where's your septic tank going to go?
Underground.
Get even further underground. I mean, my mom, you know, God bless her. She has a beautiful home, but they put the septic tank, the top of the septic tank is about 10 feet above her basement. And so they have to pump, they have to pump the sewage water from the basement up to get to the septic tank. So, yeah, they created a problem one day when one of the pipes broke open.
Ouch.
Fortunately, we hadn't been using the downstairs toilets for a while, so it was all clean water, but all the same, it was being pumped continuously up and over the ceiling and down the kitchen wall and going back to the sump pump in the basement to recycle all over again. Nice little water fountain. All, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be using a toilet in the basement in that house.
Yeah.
So, happy, happy, joy, joy. What kind of power supply does that need to plug into?
More than that.
All right.
So, how many hours are we at?
Oh, I don't know, but I need to see there's a reason why. We've got 16 minutes at least to go, and seeing the time delay between our two phones kind of tells me why you speak so much and I'm usually quiet, because if you had to wait 2 seconds to tell if I was going to say something, that's basically it. He's staring at me real quiet.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll have to make sure I leave a 3 second pause.
Right, and if I have nothing to say, that's 3 seconds of silence. It shouldn't have been there. So maybe all I need to do is I need to step on you more often. And I feel bad about
like
doing that.
Like you normally do.
Yes, I normally do step on you. I'll have to do it more often now.
Yeah, I... Yeah, quit walking on me. So we have alternative health, alternative energy, and alternative thinking. Oh, our TP. We need to find TP girls so we can get some ideas for our TP.
Yes, yes. Denise, if you're listening,
yeah.
Call us. We want to see your TP.
Yeah, I mean, I can order some online, but they're over, like, the good ones, good quality, real ones, not, like, fake ones, are over $1,000.
Right. Yeah, and even if your name is not Janice, if you have a teepee and you live close enough to us, near Lake Stockton, Missouri, please feel free to contact us and let us know. We will gladly come out and take a look at your teepee.
Yeah. And if you have a TP for sale, less than $1,000, and it's a decent one, we'll be interested. Yeah. So what other kind of alternative housing is there?
Well.
Oh, pallet houses.
Pallet barns. Pallet barns, excellent way of making sheds. If you have access to cheap pallets, consider building with them. I've got a friend who made a pallet barn, he made a pallet barn for his chicken coop. And fortunately, it's been a light snow winter, but he used three cattle panels. They have flexible wire cattle panels to make the roof, and then he stretched over the top of it one of these advertising tarps and actually cut it in half so he could actually do this again with the same advertising tarp. It's got basically a domed roof, and it's got four pallets on the sides and then three across the front. And then he doubled up the ones in the front to make them a little bit higher. And on the front side, he put in a standard door frame and a door, and that lets the chickens in and out. And he stapled all the edges of the canvas from the top onto the pallets, so it's nicely closed in. Chickens love it. Sunshine shines on it. The tarp literally lets the heat in, and it keeps the draft off the chickens so that they don't get terribly cold at night. And they're happy, and it's a fairly huge space. I'd say it's probably 12 by 12 minimum. So it might be 12 by 16. I'll have to look at it again. But
you could build a house out of pallets. I talked to this one girl on OkCupid.
Yeah.
And she had pictures of her pallet house, or her house she built out of pallets.
Yeah, I would actually make the roof using the pallets, too. I would just put a slope to them.
She had a really nice house. I mean, you couldn't see much, but from what I could see, it was a very nice house that she built out of pallets. I was impressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an option.
About building pallet barns.
Well, yeah. She's got the only pallet house that I actually saw that I was impressed, so, hey. But, I don't know. But I haven't really done a lot of extensive research on pallet buildings either. There's another one, too. What was it? We got log cabins.
Yeah. Sod houses. There's actually a couple of sod houses in the area we should probably go check out.
Sod?
Sod, yeah. They cut lawn up and stacked it up, and the roots of the grass hold the sod together. And once you've stacked it up and it has a chance to dry, it stays pretty solid for a long time. So...
that's weird.
Actually, this would be pretty close to Janice. It's near the end of, 1000 Road, where it hits AA, which would be right around the corner from M.
Okay. Cloud Piler, what does he have? He has a clay house, right?
Adobe, basically. Basically, he made clay bricks and sun-dried them and stacked them. And he's got a form he uses for making that. And, yeah, that's...
He's an off-gridder.
Yes. Yeah, he's an off-gridder. Yep, and he's even got his own little religion for his health-related...
But I don't think it's his. I think it's based on the I got it in my phone.
Yeah, you gotta check it out. It's
Chippewa. It's not Chippewa. Go ahead.
Anyway, it's Nimina, I believe you'd call it.
Nimina.
Yes.
Comanche,
yes.
Yeah, so the Comanche Nation has this organization called Nimina, and within that organization, they have a setup that protects their medicine men and women, but from the New World Order, but also... I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it's been explained to me by Cloud Piler, who's within the organization, and it's been explained to us by Ray Hall, who is another freedom fighter from a different angle, and he pretty much explained it the same way, if not similar. So, my understanding of it is a great idea. But anyways, we were mostly going to talk about his house.
Right.
And, off-grid housing. So we got, what is it called again?
I forget exactly what it's called. I was trying to think of it. Cob. They call it cob, where you mix clay, sand, and straw together. The straw acts as a binder. And he put that into a form, and so he's making cob bricks, and he air dries them, and so basically it's a cob house as opposed
cob.
To a sod house.
Kind of like corn cob?
Same thing. Yeah, like corn cob, but it's not a corn cob. It's
right.
It's, yeah. So.
Coolness. So yeah, we'll have at least one of those on the property. What I'd like to do is have at least one type of, at least one of each type of off-grid housing on the property. So when people come for the retreat, they can, you know, depending on the availability, they can pick what kind of house they want to stay in. And, you know, also we'll give tours and show people how to duplicate what we've done on their own land. And they'll have, you know, maybe not 50, but, you know, they'll have at least a dozen different houses to look at, to pick from and to get ideas from. So we'll have that's like our long-term goal. Long-term project, because we're not even close to that even right now at all. But the other things that we're doing is alternative health. You know, we're going to be growing organic foods, and we're going to be growing our own, you know, herbs and whatnot. We're eventually going to have a store there where we're going to sell, you know, produce and weeds.
Yeah,
and what?
We'll probably be copying Turtle Creek Refuge, you know, and some of their things.
Well, yeah, Turtle Creek Refuge is one example of something similar to what we're going to be doing. There's another. They're over in Colorado. There's another one. Northeast Missouri called the Running Rabbit or something like that.
Northeast Missouri?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, but the girl I was talking to on Plenty of Fish, anyways, I hate Plenty of Fish. OkCupid. The girl I was talking to on OkCupid, when I mentioned what we were doing, she asked me if what we were doing was like what they're doing. And so that's how I found out about them.
Cool.
But what they're doing is a little bit different. It's similar, but different. They have like a community where they have a whole bunch of people who come and live and work. But the way they have their community set up is more like a sect. And we're not going to do anything remotely like that.
Right.
It's just going to be the DD&D family.
We don't force other people to believe as we do.
Well, it's not so much even that. And it may not be a sect, but it appears like one. And I don't want to even remotely appear like one. But it's just going to be the DD&D family on the land. Maybe, you know, one or two other friends who might come in and stay there long term. But for the most part, I don't want too many people living on the land, and because I don't want too much testosterone and estrogen flying around and too many arguments and all this other bull crap that I don't feel like dealing with. Drama. We already got enough drama in this world. I don't want any more. But anyway, so we'll have just, you know, pretty much the DD&D family and maybe a couple extras here and there, you know, maybe people passing through, hippies passing through, staying on the land to work, you know, for their stay or whatever while they travel, whatever. I mean, because I'm learning wild edibles and how to survive and all that stuff so that one day, if I ever have to live off, you know, if the New World Order comes in and takes our land away and all that stuff, then I'm just going to be a migrant hippie. I'm just going to migrate like the Native Americans used to, from north to south. And in the winter, I'll come north. In the summer, I'll go south and just forage my way the whole way. And so I assume, because I know in California, not California, well, there too, I'm sure, but Colorado, you see a lot of hippies walking around, migrating around California. I mean, Colorado, and probably California too. But so if there's any hippies passing through our area, they can stay for a little while, help out. And cool. And, you know, basically barter labor for their stay. And
right.
we'll get a touch of their ideas and interests and things and help us tweak what we're doing. So that's basically what we're going to be doing on our DD&D project, our DD&D land. That one's not going to be Demented Dungeons and Dragons, though.
So. No. No, that's definitely David and Dave.
Well, so is the podcast. Although the podcast is actually really only David and David. But David will show up one of these days. He really likes
him.
Yeah, well, we'll sing hi him one of these days.
Nice.
Tie him up and put him on the mic.
Yeah, we'll grab him away and say, Connie, we're barring your husband for an hour. No touchies.
Yeah. So, let's see, in March, we'll bump this back to, what, 7:30?
Oh, let me see. I got a nice little program that will tell me what's going on in March. Basically, the sunset thingy.
Right. So we start our podcast a little after sunset. 6:30 is still a good time right now for after sunset. So, but I'm thinking in March we should bump it back to like 7 or 7:30. And that'll be a better time for David Irish.
Right. Well, let's see now. The end of February will be sunset at 6.
That's perfect then. So 1 hour after sunset in March.
March 23rd, it's at 7:30.
Oh, it jumps big time.
Well, that might be because of daylight savings time. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know if the program takes this into account or not.
Okay.
But that's what it's telling me at the moment. And
okay.
8:00, April 26th.
Okay. So.
Anyway, nothing to worry about right now.
Right. Well, we're planning ahead, letting people know ahead of time. Plus, I need to start working on advertisements, you know, letting people know we're pushing it back.
Yep.
So you want to just go ahead and push it back for February to 7 o'clock?
Yeah, we could do that. Hold on a second. Let me look at this again. Yeah, because basically people typically let me stop working on Friday at sunset.
Okay.
Yeah, February 21st, it'll be at 6 o'clock. Sunset will be at 6 o'clock, February 21st. So,
okay.
We've been doing the podcast about an hour after sunset, roughly. So that makes that change the time to 7.
All right, so February 7 o'clock, every Friday. Basically, happy Sabbath.
Yeah, basically, yeah, happy Sabbath.
So, yeah, just basically the beginning of Sabbath every week, we'll be doing our podcast at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Right, so for all you Sabbath keepers, yeah, we'll kind of be working on the Sabbath. So we don't
Not
get
really.
Paid for this. Yeah, we don't get paid for this. It's basically our normal conversation on the phone. But you get those men. Or join us.
Yay, for the retarded kids.
And we should actually tell people how to join us, because if they're listening to the podcast, they won't understand this unless...
they go to ddnd.com. I don't think I have DD. That one's probably taken anyways. Well, if you go to daviddavidanddavid.com, you can find our podcast hours under the drop link under Alternative Thinking. I have a podcast link under Alternative Thinking. You can go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, and you can find out our hours there or whatever. The phone number, everything, all the information's on daviddavidanddavid.com and DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Or if you don't know how to spell Demented Dungeons and Dragons like me, I had to Google it. I also bought ddd-podcast.com. That's the one that I typically use to get there. So ddd-podcast.com, and it'll give you everything you want to know about how to get calling in and all that stuff. So. All right. Well, I guess that concludes our podcast. For that's all, folks.
Yes. Good night, folks. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully have better contact. And I'll unmute my mic right after the Ron Paul thing.
Yeah, right. And hopefully we have some other callers to interject and give us some stuff to talk about, because we're just kind of, you know, we're just a little demented. So we just decide we'll just wing it most of the time, and we have things that we like to talk about. Yeah, we just talk about anything and everything. So anybody wants to call in and talk about anything and everything, this is the place to do it. So, yeah. All right. I guess that's it. Party on.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.